without the pain and suffering that you've been put through, and within closer variances, what this unfortunate project is asking for. So I'm a no.
Jay Cook.
Well, going through in here, I have to agree with Commissioner Kriebel in many cases in here as well. And I would have liked to seen more, say, give a little bit on the on some of the encroachments in here, which could get us to the 25%. More give or more open up some more space that could get us to the 75%. And there is a way to do that. And at this point in time, and that's to pull the garage back on the property side, all the way, the 5-foot buffer all the way back to the property line in the back. I just realized that looking at that in the calculations, that can be done. I think that would give you the 75%.
We're voting now. You recommended we open this back up to the discussion?
I'm voting. I want to just see what they have. I'm okay. Maintaining my position as a vote and let them calculate for a second in there. I have to see if the council. You can do it by right.
I think we may have the answer tonight. You guys are voting. Maybe take a second vote with some significant adjustments.
Pardon me?
Maybe take a second vote with some significant adjustments or take into consideration them now.
We can have Mr. Kriebel rescind his vote as well. Hold the voting for a second, subject to changes with that.
And then summarize.
That's up to the chair's discretion.
Yeah, that's the
you
chair's.
Want to pause it right here with that this, while we're here.
No. Oh, we got to be careful with ratio of kata. You can't always amend. I know. I'm trying to get it. I can move this. Really, so I feel right. That's a yes. The 70%.
Okay. Good.
Here's, I don't know, get creating a breeze wall between the house and the garage.
This,
hello.
And the area, the rest of this, the chairman said, the rest of the area, the side of the garage, that brings us from 94, earlier it was, to 81.05.
You also had the grid. Right, exactly. Right. Yes.
So the breezeway will be open all the way up?
It's still a dash in.
Right.
Takes us back.
Doesn't change the setbacks on the rear and the side.
Side setback changes.
So it eliminates one variant?
Eliminate a variance. And pick that up.
That reduces our garage by 5 feet, it's a little bit, in terms of its width.
Yeah.
Other adjustments?
How's that eliminate?
Yeah, thanks.
How does that eliminate a variance?
So your setback, so the whole side will be 5 feet.
Oh, they're going to take that back too.
All right.
See ya.
So we'll vote it.
You have to explain that to us. You have to explain it to us. You have to explain it to you. So we're going to go to the, this is in there. In this section might be here.
So that puts us down to, and we'll need an explanation on the actual covering of the walking surface in the breezeway area you're opening up. What is that going to be?
That'll be soft surf. That'll be impervious surface.
Impervious.
Impervious means you can't get through. Impervious means you can drain.
I know,
but it's covered.
It's covered just a stairway, not a roof.
Right.
Just to be a stair channel.
Yeah.
The rest of it can be grass underneath the whole way.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So a little unorthodox, but were we to deny the application and they came back with what they're now proposing, we would have to hear it again. So, it's the board's discretion with those amendments. I'm comfortable with trying
board,
to bring
is
this
the board
to
comfortable
a new
with
vote
that.
Now.
We've got the reduction.
Bring it to a new vote with
these changes.
We made a motion and a second. It's a little unorthodox, but what they're saying is we're now going to do A and B to get you down to 81 point whatever percent. Had we not done that and the board denied the application, they could come back next month because those are significant enough changes. So my point is we're here, so I'm okay with it if the board wants to consider it now.
Real quick, if that former detached garage was completely removed, this is a buy rate application.
Yeah.
Right.
It's existing condition that creates.
Right.
So question.
If before they built the addition and they just got rid of the detached garage, not attach it to the building, building coverage isn't over. So the volume or the area of that addition will displace the area of that garage. So they might need a building coverage, but I think if they shrunk it down to comply, it's not that much over.
That would depend on the
right.
I'll just.
This concession that they're proposing is, to me, is significant. I'd rather not see the breezeway and see the back of the garage removed.
Yeah, aesthetically.
That would be better for you.
Aesthetically, it would be the breezeway. I mean, I know we can get the coverage down, but are there other ways that we can?
Because now you're. But that's where the garage is now, too, is where the breezeway.
Yeah.
You're saying if they take 5 feet off the garage.
Yes.
Let's discuss that. If you just leave the connection.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. It solves the whole problem. Exactly.
From a use standpoint.
Can you get rid of two variances?
Can you get rid of two variances?
You eliminate. The only variance we have is for building coverage because lot coverage improves by.
Yeah. Exactly.
50%.
Right. So it's a
better,
say that
better solution to the whole problem.
If that were done originally, it would have not been to this board.
Well, in deference to the applicant, he tried to fix something that would not be easily fixed.
But to keep it
in defense of that change.
But it's 7.330.
Right, so you still need a rear yard variance. I think the 7.33 makes sense because it's in line with the rest of the building.
Exactly. I think that's a better solution. That's it.
No. So I think that needs to be garage space.
Not to pile on the whole governor strip thing, but to still have a governor strip. And because it's not in forms, that's what we would have asked for that regarding.
All right, we got to move.
This is a good architect on the drafting table. This was a good architect.
Thank you very much.
These are lodged tonight.
All right, so
explain what the dwelling place.
Yeah, John, were you going to say?
Go ahead.
What do we want?
All the way through.
All the way through.
Right. Yes.
And improves the entire situation. It improves it tremendously.
Use the term less than or whatever the numbers are. That's pretty.
It improves legal threat. It improves the coverage tremendously. Solves a myriad of problems. And that would be the case.
It doesn't really affect the footprint.
Mr. I think the neighbor ought to chime in on this.
Who?
Mr. Swift.
Yeah. He gets 12. He gets it all the way back now. So
yes,
it actually
improves it even better than it was before.
Yeah,
are you agreeable to that?
It's about as not guilty as we can hope for.
It's not guilty.
Okay, not guilty.
That's fine with me. Yeah. Right. That's
all right.
Any further from us?
No.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That's it. Okay. Now, does everyone on the board understand what we just did? You're going to vote on.
Yeah, and I could help you a little bit.
And we improved the application tremendously.
The side yard setback variance goes away. That's going to be 5 feet. The rear yard, 10's required, but they're going to match the house at 7.3 feet. Right. They probably still need a building coverage and lot coverage variance, but they're going to be significantly less, and they'll provide those exact calculations.
So almost be 75%.
There's three variances. The rear yard, which went from 0 now to 7.3, building coverage and lot coverage, which will be a lot closer, but probably won't get us. And maybe they do, but right. We should include them. And then the same conditions. And I'll make it clear with what they're conceding, okay. And I'll make sure Mr. Swift's client's protected.
All right. Now, could you reframe that motion, please? Now, Mr. Kriebel, have you withdrawn your vote?
Yes.
Yes, he's withdrawn his vote.
All right. So we're going to make a new motion in a second. Again, the variances are a rear yard setback now, 7.33 feet or whatever that existing house is. I think 7.33, 10 feet required. So it's going to be we're going to include a building coverage and a lot coverage variance. They're going to provide updated calculations that get us closer to what they're currently proposing. We don't know if they'll exactly conform or not. And then the conditions, I don't think I need to go through all those again. I stated previously. there's any questions, let me know. If not, we'll need a, yeah, you might even get there.
It's going to be better in there. This time, may I have a motion in a second, please?
I'll make a motion.
Okay. All those, okay, have a roll call vote.
Commissioner Kriebel.
I'll change my vote to a yes after those concessions. I think it's still a very difficult proposal, and I still think that the governor strip and a 3-foot driveway piece of grass would go a long way. I'll say yes.
Jay Cook.
I'm going to vote in favor of the application. This goes a long way to improving the entire situation, not only for the Atkins, but also for their neighbors. Actually, one, two, three, about three, at least three neighbors that adjoin them itself. We've dealt with drainage issues and so on. The end result is that hopefully, as an example going forward, you're going to see that their quality of life has actually improved a bit, and the openness of the site improves by doing all this. And the block, the entire block will improve. And I thank you for your cooperation as well. With that, it also goes a long way to improving the master plan and the intent of the master plan with opening up life and it, getting rid of these zero lot lines, which are a nemesis to this community itself. And with that, I vote in favor.
Lorraine Salata.
I'll preface my remarks by saying I do appreciate the applicant's willingness to make whatever changes that we have recommended. But, you know, this was a very inefficient way to go about it with proper planning, proper licensing, proper professionals planning this out. This whole thing could have been avoided and it would still would have been a good plan. So having said that, I do appreciate the willingness of the applicant. This is much better than what we started with, so I'll be voting for it.
Burr Gaskell.
These concessions that they just came up with are much better than what we originally brought in here. And honestly, I probably would have voted no before, but I will vote yes this week. Yeah.
Jessica Stilley.
I'm going to vote in favor as well. It is actually a pretty unfortunate situation that we're put in here. But I do appreciate, I guess, the applicant's means to work with us and make concessions that were recommended and revise those plans. I think at the end of the day, we're reducing that coverage of that garage and increasing the lot coverage overall. So I think there's an improvement on that end. So we do appreciate you working with us on that governor strip, also providing us that 3-foot strip on the side of the driveway. I think that's it.
Thank you all for taking time to do that.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bailenson.
Thank you, Mr. Cook.
Mr. Atkins, welcome to the community a little late, but welcome. And thank you for your cooperation. I think you're gonna like the way it turns out. Okay. Next application is that of 204 North Melbourne.
You're in.
I'll let the record reflect that Mr. Smith is now seated on the board. And Roman can now participate in this particular, when Zabby Hutch can participate in this application.
They're under them.
So we have one, two. We have seven members voting.
Yeah.
We're going to do a panel on this.
You're ready to shoot in, ain't you?
Mr. Swift?
Yes, sir.
We're going to open up when you're swearing in, and then Mr. McLaren is going to do a preamble on the, just explain the application and generals, and you will take over. Okay.
Thank you.
Everybody sworn, get everybody sworn, please, who's going to speak? Give him a little one.
Yeah. Okay.
Hi, good evening, guys. Thanks for having us. Thanks for your time.
Okay.
Right. Well, he may have to bring his hand still up to the mic, too, at some point.
Okay. Oh, yeah. If you're going to speak, we'll get everyone sworn.
The little guy has to be sworn, too.
All right. So it's Mr. and Mrs. McKay and then Mr. Halliday, correct? Christopher Halliday. Can each please raise your right hand? Each swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth. Thank you.
I do also.
I do.
Mm-hmm. Let the record reflect that Mr. Halliday is a licensed architect. You a planner also? Just an architect. His credentials are accepted. See many of your plans. No, Roger. You're up.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. The report, simple application. Page one is the information. Plans reviewed on page two. The project is they are elevating an existing non-conforming house. And there's an enclosed or a porch that they want to enclose, triggering a variance for front yard setback from Melbourne Avenue, whereas 15 feet is required, 14.8 feet exist to the house, and 8.5625 feet exist to the porch. Since the porch becomes a house, that is the variance of 8.5625 feet, so 8.6 feet to keep it simple. Going to my comment, I only have one comment, and it's just based on the BFE. Other than that, I think this is a beautiful project. The height, no matter where that BFE is, still complies with the city's ordinance. And again, the only variance they're seeking is about 7 foot for front yard setback for a small portion of that porch that's going to be enclosed. Mr. Halliday, Mr. Swift, you agree with that, correct?
Yes, sir.
That's right here.
Yep.
And could you confine your testimony to that area, please?
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Commissioner, board members. My name is James Swift, 1335 Tilton Road, Northfield, New Jersey, appearing today on behalf of Ariane and Adam McKay and the little one who's here today in the front row. It's a simple application, as Mr. McLaren pointed out. I'm not going to make it complicated. I'm not going to denigrate the seriousness of this application, even though I'm going to try to make it simple in terms of the board's time. It is actually very simple. This is a renovate and raise project. The only thing we're asking for is a pre-existing non-conforming front porch. We're asking to enclose it. There's a lot of open space in this property. In addition, we're not asking for a maxed out property. We're actually going 4 feet lower than what we could have. Because we have to raise it, obviously, we don't have to raise it, but as a result of raising it, we're going to need this variance. The property is substantially compliant. We have two front yards. One front yard is fully compliant. This front yard, in terms of just simply the enclosed porch, is going to seek that variance of 8.6.2 feet. I don't think it's going to have any negative impact on any of the neighbors. I think it's going to be meaningless to anybody except the property owners. As you can see, they've got a young family here. Ariana has a long-time history in the city of Ventnor. She has a grandmother who lives full-time in Ventnor, who lives not far away. In essence, they want to keep the family culture in Ventnor alive. It's not complicated. It's simple. We are here with Mr. Halliday. He can answer any technical questions. I'm going to leave it at that. And again, not to denigrate the seriousness, but just to emphasize the simplicity of what we're trying to do here on a substantially compliant property as it is.
I just want to confirm a couple things. So the lot area required is 5,930 square feet. You're at 5,000 square feet. So that's an existing non-conforming, exactly. But you're compliant with the 5,000, applying all the standards to the 5,000 square feet. Also lot depth, the requirement is 103 feet. They're at 100 feet, that's existing non-conforming, has zero impact on the application at all. And again, just to not beat a dead horse, it's the enclosing a porch, an area that already exists, so you're not changing coverage, and you're compliant with everything else, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you.
The application, are there only one curb cut or two curb cuts? Are there two curb cuts in this, or just one?
Yes, okay.
All right.
It's yours.
I typed up a whole page, but I'll be brief. You know, we had a long
application. Just give it a half a page, double space.
Mr. Swift gave a great overview of the application. The LKs are a growing family, obviously. This is Juliana's first
zoning board. Pull the mic up closer to you,
Jordan. This is Juliana's first zoning board hearing at 3 months. So she gets to take a look at the public process. They have owned this property for 3 years. They reviewed their options with the growing family. They would like 4 bedrooms. The amount of renovation that was going to occur required a raise. And when doing the raise, we looked at all of our possible options to best design the project to fulfill their needs. And we wanted to make sure there was aesthetic improvements for them. And they did a great job kind of indicating to us their wants, goals, and needs, and also aesthetic preferences. So even though we are removing a porch on that Melbourne side, we are adding a new front porch and deck so that they can be part of that outdoor environment and culture and streetscape on the Gardens Plaza. Vendor Gardens Plaza elevation. And the reason that we're enclosing the porch is just so that they have more comfortable living kitchen and dining room on that ground. First.
That's it.
Keep it brief. We're 330 square feet less than what is required for building coverage. So we are not a maxed out building. We are 2 stories rather than 2.5 stories. We are 4 feet less than what is maxed out. Essentially, if they were to rebuild, it would be more of a long and linear building that would be more vertical. We felt like this option better fit into the neighborhood. There's more 2-story structures in this vicinity. So we felt that this was just a better planning option.
So elevating the structure meets the intent and goals of the master plan?
It does, yeah, floodproofing. And there is an existing laundry room, an existing bathroom on the ground floor that is being removed. That is just now a floodproof storage area.
How would this benefit the community? How would this benefit the community?
Floodproofing, raising above, adding front porch, which it creates creating a more visual environment. Anything else, Jim?
Just a couple of questions, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Yep.
You're familiar with the vendor zoning ordinance, right?
I am.
And you're familiar with the municipal land use law?
I am.
Would you submit your professional opinion that this application is in furtherance of the intent and the goal of both the vendor zoning ordinance as well as the municipal land use law?
I do. If this were in a corner lot, it would be a fully by right application. So the fact that this is a corner lot, we have 2 front yard setbacks rather than a front and a side yard. If it were 2 side yard setbacks, the requirement would be 8 feet, whereas we are in a corner lot, so it's 15 and 15. Thus, the reason for being here. We felt that rehabbing and reusing an existing property that has been, we had Czar Engineering come in and evaluate the foundation, the structure. They gave it a green light. So we felt like reusing, raising, and renovating is a better use of the home rather than tearing down.
So you're recycling a house space here?
Yes.
And pursuant to 40:55(d)(70), would you submit your professional opinion that if there are any negatives, which candidly I don't see, that the benefits substantially outweigh any negatives?
I do feel like the benefits outweigh any detriments on this project.
And do you see that the application of this project would harm any neighbors or anything in Ventnor to any degree at all?
No, I think with the verticality of what could be built on this lot, I think what is being proposed better fits into the neighborhood. It's more of a low lining area. There is a newer renovated building across Caddy Corner that is a little bit more vertical, but everything else is kind of two stories around the neighborhood.
Yes.
Chairman, I don't have any further questions.
If you could just hold up your plan, please, and point to the area board where you are, where the porch is located, so everyone sees that.
Yes. So on the site plan.
Could you open it up so everybody can find it a little bit better?
Double.
Okay. Thank you very much. Do you have any further comments?
Mr. Chairman, this is Ariana. Can you just make a couple of brief statements?
Welcome, Ariana.
Thank you. I'll keep it very brief for you guys. Essentially, we just, we're coming from the city. We're Philadelphia natives. And my grandmother, like he said, lives full time down the shore. I have beautiful memories coming down. She's lived here for the past 25 years. So I wanted to, we wanted to extend that experience for our growing family. And essentially what we're looking for is to create green space, because obviously living in an urban jungle, we have none. So our intent is definitely to extend our access to the outside and maintain. The reason for purchasing that property in particularly was because it's a large lot. There's a lot of outdoor space. We just needed that little tiny bit of indoor space to make the first floor a little flow a little bit better. But the main goal is to maintain that indoor outdoor living. And I think that the overall intent of the plan achieves that goal.
So, you've owned this house for about 3 or 4 years?
Yes. We purchased it during the pandemic.
Is the year-round residence, or it will be, or a season?
We will be coming down year-round. It's not going to be our primary residence, but we have no intent to rent it out. That is not my intention.
Is there a landscaping plan of apartment? Ariana?
There is.
Okay. I'm going to go back to our gentleman. If you have a landscaping plan, it's associated with your plan?
We just have a site plan now. We can provide the board with a landscaping plan.
Okay. Would you want to?
On conditions.
They can include the landscaping on the site plan.
Yes.
As part of the compliance plan.
Sure.
As part of the, yeah. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. And then you'll file that with us as well. And how many street trees? There's no waiver here requested. So the type of street trees, so, because this is a corner lot, how many street trees are going to be required?
Usually two per frontage.
So there'll be four street trees required on this particular parcel.
Two in the front, right. Two on the side.
And the governor strip on both streets.
Thank you.
If you can irrigate that with Dedafin or something like that, you're better off.
Okay.
But it's up to you guys.
Thank you.
And that is the case. Any other questions from the board? At this time, Roger, did you put your rep?
I
did. Okay.
And to address one of Mr. Parnon's comments, any fencing in the right-of-way will be removed.
Ignore that comment.
Okay.
Don't worry. Just number one. One comment.
What's that?
The first comment. Okay.
Thank you.
Is there anyone in the public who wishes to speak on this application? Hearing no requests, again, is there anyone in the public who wishes to speak on this application? Second time, no requests, no visual. Public portion of this is now closed. This time, Mr. Swift, do you have anything further you wish to add?
Judge, Mr. Chairman, respectfully, we are requesting the board to act favorably upon this application. Hopefully, the board can make a finding that pursuant to the municipal land use law that this will substantially improve the neighborhood. The benefits substantially outweigh any detriments, which candidly, I don't see anything. And again, if the board could act, I obviously appreciate it. Okay. Thank you for your time and attention.
Board members, do you have any questions of our professionals or the applicant? At this time, could you frame a motion, please?
Sure. It's another C variance application, just the one C variance. It's the front yard setback along Melbourne Avenue, 15 feet required, and they're proposing 8.5625 feet. And then the conditions I'll note, a couple that we mentioned, when they submit their compliance plans on their site plan, they'll put a landscaping plan that Roger can review and approve in his discretion. That will include four total street trees, two on each frontage, and two governor strips, one on each frontage. And then I'll just note anything else in Mr. McLaren's report, and then the standard conditions subject to any outside approvals or any representations made by the applicant during the course of the hearing. I'll get you over a draft to review. Front yard, yeah. Thank you.
All right. May I have a motion and a second, please?
I'll make the motion.
We'll have a roll call vote. Please state your reasons.
Commissioner Crable?
I think this is a very good application. I think it's going to
and it's going to inspire other homes in that area to raise and renovate rather than tear down. I think it's one of these unique, I think there should be a subcategory for split level lifts because it can be very difficult, but I think they did a good job at making the space useful, and really the variances are de minimis. I think it's a good example of reinvesting in that neighborhood. It does flood in that neighborhood. It may not look like it floods actually because it spreads out a lot, but during Sandy, a lot of my friends in that neighborhood took on water over a foot in their area. So this is warranted. And a side benefit is where that deck's situated, you can watch that little guy go to school from almost around the corner. So I'm a yes.
Thank you.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote in favor of this application. It is clearly an advancement of our master plan and our ordinances. For one thing, it's also updating house that eventually will become obsolete. So with that, we're doing that. Also, it brings another house into FEMA compliance, which helps reduce our insurance rates for the entire city. With that in mind, the variance in question is de minimis. And right across the street, the Borsanis raised their house a couple years ago. And so they did a job, and it's going to look just great. And you're going to be an impetus for others to follow suit in the same way. So I congratulate you and what you're doing, and I wish you the best of luck. But you're advancing the properties of the city itself, and we love new residents coming in, particularly young residents. So with that, I vote yes.
Thank you.
Reynolds Abbey Hutch?
I also vote yes. The variance is being generated because it's a corner lot. For me, it's de minimis. The most important aspect for me is we're making the house flood compliant, which helps the city, helps the property owner. The area does flood. We live not far away from there. And I see water rising along the street there every time there's a high tide, so it's something great. So with that, yes.
Thank you.
Lorraine Salata?
I like the plan. I think it's, first of all, it's really going to enhance that corner. It's a really nice spot. There's a lot of exposure. You're elevating it, so it now looks like compliant. I would see no reason at all to deny it, so I do vote.
Thank you.
Dan Smith III.
I'm also going to vote in favor for the comments you've made. Yeah. Oh. Thank you for keeping the audio space.
Thank you.
Mayor Gaskell?
I also vote yes. I think it's going to be an improvement to the neighborhood. I like the idea of the governor's strip. The house is going to be improved and in a great neighborhood.
Thank you.
Jessica Stilley?
I'm going to vote in favor as well. This is really a substantial improvement. It's really just a great design. I think aesthetically, it really is a significant improvement there. I think that variance is certainly justified, being that it's a corner lot. So that variance on Melbourne is definitely justified. And I would say that, I guess I'm just happy to see you're raising the structure, making it flood compliant, and hope that this is kind of a trend in that area.
Thank you.
Adam and Ariella, welcome as stakeholders to our community, and wish you the best of luck, Kurt. And Chris, nice plan. Thank you. Next application is that of 14 North Washington Avenue.
Yeah, everybody's going to be like,
yeah. You're gonna do it for him. Do a preamble first. Everybody's sworn. And then after he's done, after the preamble's done, it's all yours.
Thank you, Mr. Cook.
Did you have everybody you need sworn in, please?
That's Mr. McLeese.
All right. Mr. McLeese, just your name and business address real quick. And please raise your right hand. You swear from the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth? Thanks.
I'll let the record reflect that Mr. McLeese's credentials are acceptable to this board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. We're going to first go into our planner and engineer is going to give a preamble of his there first, and then you'll continue. Roger, could you please continue?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. Similarly to the last application, but also different. So it's the application of Brian Scott Zuckerman, 14 North Washington Avenue, block 135, lot 6. Seeking C variances. It's located in the R7 single family zoning district. It's a hardship variance plus a substantial benefit variance. So the materials reviewed on the bottom of page 1, continue on page 2, along with the plans. So Mr. McLeese provided 4 plan sheets, which he will provide testimony tonight. So the application is to propose to elevate and add a floor to an existing dwelling on a non-conforming lot within the R7 single family zoning district. The proposal is to lift the existing 1.5 story dwelling, provide parking on the ground floor, and insert a new first floor below the elevated existing dwelling. Perhaps, again, the applicant will provide the testimony to that. So just to go over some of the zoning aspects, why this is a hardship variance. The lot area is required to be 2,000 square feet, and they only have 1,625 square feet to play with. The lot width, minimum lot width is 32 feet, and they're at 26 feet. So right there, they have a 6-foot deficit. Again, that's an existing non-conforming lot width. They do, however, meet the lot depth. And I believe the only variance related to the lot depth is the front yard setback. That's because, and the rear yard setback, but that's because the existing structure is to be reused and elevated. So those existing non-conforming setbacks continue with the house raise. The variances are as follows: front yard setback to the building. There is a required minimum front yard setback is 12 feet, 7.8 feet exists, and 10 feet is proposed. Again, it's a expansion of a non-conforming setback. They are making a slight improvement to that. Front yard setback to the porches and decks for the first floor. Similarly, it's a 5-foot encroachment or 7-foot setback. 0 feet exists and 0 feet are proposed. Front yard setback to the porches on the second floor. There's a required minimum front yard setback to the decks is 7 feet or a 5-foot encroachment. And the architect is already requested he provide that information, but it's a less than 7 foot is proposed. Side yard setback to the building on the decks for the left, whereas the required minimum side yard setback to the principal structure is 4 feet, 2.6 feet exists, and 2.6 feet is proposed. Again, that's a building and a decks on the left side. Side yard setback in a building on the right for the decks and building. 4 feet required, 0 feet exists in about, or 10 feet exists in 0 feet, and 4.2 feet is proposed. Again, it's the deck over the garage and a second floor deck that's going to be elevated next to it that's triggering the variance. The actual second floor and the third floor that's being expanded is not the variance, it's just the existing. And again, the building height, I believe that they are going to comply with 31 feet where 35 feet was used in their application. But however, since the lot is less than 40 feet wide, it is 31 feet of building height. And again, what they can reduce the roof pitch and to accommodate the 31 feet. I'm not going to go through all my comments. I believe they have reviewed it and I have spoken to the architect today. And I think their testimony will provide all the answers that are needed for the board. Thank you.
You're up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, Eric Goldstein on behalf of the applicant. Roger is correct that over the course of the past couple of days, he and Bill McLeese had discussed how to somehow minimize and mitigate some of the issues regarding the variances, and Bill will talk about that in just a second. A couple of things to note for the record. Mr. Zuckerman wanted to be there at the meeting tonight and give a little bit of brief testimony. He is unfortunately in the hospital, okay, but had an issue that he couldn't get out of. So he's not here, not because of a lack of a desire to be here, but unable to be here. I will point out, however, that no one put a better case on tonight than Jim Swift for having his clients bring the baby. That was a brilliant I could have Mr. Zuckerman wheeled in, but that would be bad. But Jim bringing the baby, outstanding, especially after the first game.
Well played.
Yeah, he's good. Jim's good. In any event.
Where's your rabbit in the hat?
I got nothing. Just me. So, and Roger's report is accurate, of course. One thing which I know, you know, we're dealing with here is a slightly undersized lot. But the one thing, of course, when the board mentioned earlier about lot coverage, we're still percentage-wise not over what is allowable. And when we talked about this project with the applicant and with Bill, the whole goal was knowing how cognizant vendor is about lot coverage. We didn't want to touch that. We are doing a slight increase in building coverage, but we're still under. So those aren't variances at all. Roger's report points out what the variances are. Unfortunately, the lot is fairly narrow. There's a house there already. The goal, of course, is to raise the house, a substantial benefit to get the house out of the floodplain, flood mitigation being fairly major health, safety, and welfare issue in the state of New Jersey. Having said that, I'm going to turn it over to Bill to walk through his plans. Certainly, we'll be available to answer any questions as the board might have them. And I'll give it to you, Bill, to take it away. I don't think there's a mic there, so I'll...
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Again, we're talking about block 135, excuse me, lot 26. It's 14 North Washington Avenue, located on the south side of Washington. The existing building is a two-story building. You've seen the photos, I'm sure, in Mr. McLarnon's report. It would be best described, I guess, as a one-and-a-half story. What we're seeking to do, the Zuckermans have had the home for several years. They're enjoying their time here, obviously, of course, in the summers especially. What they'd like to do is enlarge it slightly. In order to do that and make those improvements, as we all know, they need to bring it into compliance with the floodplain, which we are doing, as you see in the plans. So the intent here really is to minimize the expansion as much as possible. As Eric's pointed out, we are an undersized lot. So really the approach that we've taken is to elevate the house, and creating parking underneath the house allows us to use the driveway space to introduce the stair to get you to each of the levels. So to take you for a quick walk through the plans, which are submitted in the set, we had all the way at the right-hand side of the page here, which was part of the submission, sheet A1.01. You see the new garage level plan, which shows driveway space underneath porch in the building, maintaining that 18 feet to the garage door, an additional space within the garage area that's being created under the house. And the balance of that space really is storage. Elevators provided in the center of the space. Obviously, when we're adding a story and you're elevating the building, that becomes a little bit challenging to navigate those floors. So the elevator, a great help there. And obviously, in order to get to that new first floor, we're extending the stairs. We're introducing a new entrance at the front of the house. So where you previously would enter more or less at the center of the house, and it was, say, three steps up, two small planters on either side, we now have a deck at that first living level with a stair running up the side. That brings you into a small foyer, living and dining and kitchen space. The deck, which was over their existing garage, we're going to maintain and reconstruct. The garage itself will remain, and the existing walls of that garage will be upgraded to ensure that we're complying with all fire code requirements, being that those walls, as I'm sure you know, are on the lot line at the rear in the side yard. That's our zero lot line condition that was noted in Mr. McLarnon's report. Excuse me. So circulating up from there, we have the second floor, which is bedrooms, bath at the rear, and small second floor deck. And then the top floor is a modest master suite with porch out towards the front and the rear. If I take you to our sheet A2.00, you see the proposed elevations of the property, which show the new front elevation here at the bottom right-hand side of the page, garage door underneath the building, deck across the front, which is covered, a deck at that bedroom level, and a deck at the master bedroom level. The entire building is going to be re-sided. All the windows will be replaced, so we'll have a consistent, coherent appearance when it's completed. I spoke with Mr. McLaren by email this morning because in our original plans, we submitted a roof which was 6 and 12, and that results in 33 feet over EFE plus 4, if I have that right. If we go to the minimum roof slope that's permitted, which is 5 and 12, we can reduce that encroachment down. I think we would be about 1 foot over instead of the 2 feet that we're talking about in the original submission. So that helps to kind of reduce that overage on the height.
You still need a C variance for the height.
We still need a C variance, that's correct. Of course. That's correct. That's correct. And obviously balancing the variances, obviously, I think we're creating a desired visual environment. Obviously, the property is being improved from what's there today. We're improving the health, safety, and welfare of not only this property, but the adjacent properties, not only by complying with floodplain requirements, allowing those floodwaters to come through, reducing any risk of possible structural compromise or failure in the event of a flood or hurricane. We're also addressing the concerns with an aged garage on the property line, which more than likely is not complying with current fire code requirements for that fire rating separation between properties.
Sydney Penn.
Yes, that is my opinion.
Negative,
sir.
Any negative at all associated?
I see no negative. I think, again, we were trying to stay within the footprint of the existing building as we elevated. So I think really when all factors are being considered, it's a modest improvement that we're looking at here. Certainly. I think the benefits of, again, as I mentioned, is the benefits of complying with the flood requirements, the benefits of complying with fire safety requirements in the building code, I think far exceed any potential detriments this might cause. Two things before we get into questions. Roger, you had asked about landscape. The landscape coverage overall works out to 25%, because obviously our impervious coverage is 75. I think the existing is a little heavier than 75 right now. But our proposal is to remove that garage, the driveway that was there, and replace that with planting. And then the opposite side yard as well would be planted, as well as the rear. The front yard, just because of the nature of getting a driveway and a walkway in and our limited width, we're only about 3.5%, not the 5% of the total that's required. But we've pretty much landscaped everything that we could, save for a driveway and a walkway up to the house.
Kind of stuff.
And no issue with the shrubs. I don't know if we could fit two street trees.
Probably not.
Right.
You can do one now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see no problem. We do a waiver on one tree.
Right. And then we'll provide the shrubs in the front and the rear.
And you're doing a governor strip too.
So real quick, Bill, do you think the original roof pitch is 6-12?
The original roof pitch is even more than 6-12. The original proposed plan was 6-12. But if we go to 5-12, then we're 32 feet, not 33.
But it's still a C variance either way.
It is.
I think the steeper roof pitch actually makes this house look a little better.
We were in an effort to minimize it.
Right.
Right.
Well, it's not going to change your testimony. It's still a C variance, I think.
That is true.
I think the aesthetics of it, to me, a steeper roof pitch makes the house look a little bit more skinny like that.
Right.
A little bit more.
It's helpful.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have no opinion with Roger, too.
Okay.
What pitch, with that pitch, would you be putting on there?
I'm sorry?
What pitch are you proposing?
As submitted, it's 6-12, so we would stay with that.
We're talking about a greater pitch. What pitch would you put on?
I usually like to start with 8-12, but...
Can we go with 8?
I think that pushes it into a D variance at that point.
It does. Well, yeah, we don't. We can't go.
Yeah.
I think the 6-12 versus the 5-12, they're...
Minimus.
Six is very walkable and very, yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
So we'll stay with this. All right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. Well, board members, any questions or things of the applicant? Hearing none, I'm going to go. Is there anyone in the public wish to make comment on this application? Hearing none. Seeing no requests. Public portion is now closed. Do you have anything further you wish to add? Board members.
It's been a long night.
Do you have anything further you wish to add? Okay. At this time, we'll move to resolution and vote.
All right. I'm going to frame a motion and... No questions, right? Because once we make the motion in a second, we like to avoid.
No questions.
Yeah.
No questions.
All right. So the C variances are as follows for the lift and the renovation additions. Front yard setback to the building, 12 feet required, 10 feet proposed. Front yard setback to the first floor porch or deck, that's at 0 feet, where 7 feet is required, or a 5 foot projection into the 12. Front yard setback, same thing on the second floor. The decks, they're at, do they come all the way to zero?
No.
That's on the second floor?
So it looks like it's about 5 feet.
Okay.
You'll supply that on the compliance plan?
Show dimension.
Okay.
And then you have the side yard setback to the decks on the left side. They're 2.6 feet where 4 feet proposed. Same thing on the right side. 4.2 feet.
4.2 is for the building. But
for the building. Deck. And the deck, that's what's at the zero, correct?
Yes. Over the garage.
And then... Building height, you're going to keep that at 2 feet above the permitted maximum with the 6-12 pitch, as opposed to trying to get it down a foot. That's still a C variance. And then there's a waiver. The survey's older than 2 years. That's usually not a big deal.
Rear,
Roger,
what's that? Rear yard too.
The rear yard setback.
What's the variance for the rear yard setback?
11.7.
Okay, 11.7 feet for a rear yard setback variance.
And they need 12.
And they need 12. 12 is required.
Right.
Got it. And then front yard landscaping, are they below that, 5%?
Yes.
They're 5 is required. They're at about 3.5%, give or take. The survey is greater than 2 years old. I'll note that they'll add one street tree and shrubs and a governor strip, but the second street tree will be waived. terms of other conditions, I'll state anything in Mr. McCarron's report unless otherwise addressed, subject to any outside approvals, subject to any representations made by the applicant during the course of the hearing.
Okay. Are we clear? So I'll have a motion and a second, please.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Second.
I have a roll call vote. State your reasons, please.
Commissioner Kriebel.
This is, I think, an example of good design. I think he was respectful to our zoning by keeping it within the footprint and simply adding a stair hall and an elevator hall to the side of an existing home that kind of shrouds it from being a large massing, even though the end result is going to look unusual on the block for a short period of time, because I think the rest of that block, Washington Avenue, you see what's happened here, and they're going to know that they have to do the same thing. And I think the variances are de minimis in that respect. And as this is, as I said, an example, I think, of good design with a lot of requirements and a lot of restraints. The homeowner gets, I think, a brilliant new house in a very nice neighborhood.
Thank you.
Jacob?
I vote yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm going to vote in favor of the application. I think actually very well done. And it makes some improvements to the lot. And also it's adding, making a house that's basically almost obsolete and turning it into a new property, which is for the benefit of the city itself. But it's working with lifting the home, getting it into FEMA compliance. But at the same time, it's trying to, you're making an effort to work with the zoning that is there and doing the lift and solve some of the problems that do exist. So that goes a long way to furthering our master plan. And I think it also, it's a decent, it's a good looking structure itself that's going to be going in. So it's going to contribute to the resort nature of the community. Get some outdoor living going in and do all the things that we do here in Ventnor do well. So that's why I say it's a good plan. And it meets, I think, the intent of our master plan. With that, I vote yes.
Thank you.
Herman Zabihach?
I also vote yes. This complements, there are several other structures that have been raised in the neighborhood on either side. This complements that trend, which you should hope exacerbates it in other houses. For me, as I live at the far end of that street, parking is quite an issue there, and by removing and providing two parking spaces is a tremendous boon to the other neighbors. And if more people do house raising, again, with plenty of stuff, it'll be a great asset to the city. Yeah.
Thank you.
Salada?
Yeah, I like this application. I don't really see a downside to it. Getting new housing stock is always good, blood compliant, and it's very attractive. So, to me, it checks all the boxes. So,
thank you, Ms. Alana.
Dan Smith III.
I'm also going to vote yes. Aaron Watts, Watts out. Is it study completing? You got a lot of outside space for compliance and quality parking. Then, being fun stuff here.
Thank you. Mayor Gaskell.
I vote yes.
Thank you.
It's a great application. I like the off-street parking. I like the everything about it. The house is there now. Needs a facelift. There's only so much you can do with the width of that lot. And hopefully other people in the neighborhood will do the same.
Thanks.
Jessica Stilley.
I'm going to vote in favor as well. It is a substantial improvement to the existing structure. So you're going to be raising it, making it flood compliant. It also is a narrow lot. So I think you had a good use of kind of space you had, and it's really a great design in terms of layout, and aesthetically it's a major improvement to what is there now.
Thank you.
The motion carries.
Thank you all.
And
good night.
Do you wish Mr. Zuckerman a good recovery?
I will.
And tell him the good news, please.
This will probably buoy his spirits a little bit, so I'm sure it'll be good to let him know he was approved.
Okay.
Enjoy the rest of your night.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. McLeese. Thank you. Okay. Brian, you're up. I'm doing a bonus. Brian, I'm going to have Roger go with the preamble first, and then you'll go right into your whole thing. Swear everybody in first.
Thank you.
Let's do something.
Brian Callahan, a law firm, Brian J. Callahan. On behalf of the applicant, 417 North Somerset Avenue, Top Tier Holdings. I have John Barnhart here tonight to be sworn in. I have Mr. Klinger here, who's the 9th member to be sworn in, in case they have questions.
Okay, Mr. Barnhart and Mr. Klinger, just your name and address for the record, and I'll swear both of you in together, please.
Alan Klinger, 605 East 5th Street, Lakewood, New Jersey.
John Barnhart, 400 Avenue.
Okay, do you swear, please raise your right hand, do you swear from the testimony you're about to give this evening will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Let the record reflect that Mr. Barnhart's credentials as an engineer and planner are acceptable to this board.
Real quick, thank you, board members, board chairman. The application of Top Tier Holdings LLC, 417 North Somerset Avenue, Block 256, Lot 6, located in the R2 Single Family Zoning District. It's a substantial benefit variance. It was reviewed on bottom of page 1, continued on page 2. One plan has been submitted, and that's for a subdivision plan. Again, if the only reason they're here versus the buy rights subcommittee is they have variances. So the variances are as follows. As you can see from the zoning chart, they need there's 4 variances total, 2 per lot. The existing required lot size is 4,800 square feet. They have 8,000 square feet. So if you cut it in 2, you have 4,000 square feet per lot. Each requires a variance. A minimum lot width is 60 feet. They start with 100 feet and cut it in half. It's 50 feet per lot, so it's a 10-foot variance per lot. So they are the 4 variances. And just to confirm that the lot coverage and the building coverage will comply.
Yes. We're not asking for any other variance relief.
Correct.
Front yards, side yards, rear yards, building coverage, lot coverage, height will all comply. Landscaping will comply. Street trees will comply. Governor strips will comply.
The one comment I have is that with this subdivision that's proposed, they will be in symmetry with the lots behind them. And the reason I think that is important is if all the setbacks comply, you'll have a viewing corridor in all 4 directions that highlights the open air and symmetry. So I have no further comment.
Let me call Mr. Barnhart. He can mark, goes through his exhibits with you, mark them up, show you what we're doing, and go from there, John.
Hey, good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So the plan I have up at the moment is the plan that was submitted with the application. As Brian already mentioned, the property is known as Block 256. It's lot number 6, right on the corner of Fremont and Somerset Avenue. The lot has a frontage along Somerset of 100 feet, and it has a frontage along Fremont of 80 feet. It is kind of in the heart of the R2 zoning district, and it is surrounded. It is currently a non-compliant single-family one-story dwelling. The dwelling is low as far as elevation is concerned, and as we understand it, it was substantially damaged during Superstorm Sandy. The surrounding lots are all, for the most part, single-family detached dwellings. Immediately behind us, and Mr. McLaren pointed out in his report, Immediately behind us is a recent fairly recent subdivision our office did a couple of years back to create a 250-foot lots in the rear of this property that actually front on Suffolk Avenue. I